Good evening. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sam Knight, and you don't usually see me very much because I am currently living in Suffolk as we prepare to go to Chad, and it doesn't seem logical that we be in Suffolk to prepare to go to Chad, but if you want to find out why, then come and talk to me afterwards. When I mention moving to Chad, I generally get a couple of responses. One is a blank look, as where on earth is Chad? And if you type into Google, where is Chad, you try to find a lost man who's called Chad. It's one of those unfortunate realities of the internet. And the other one is of concern that, and then they say something like, you're brave. I understand that. Or they might even say, really? You're taking your family with you? And yes, I understand that concern. And if you don't know where Chad is, it's slap bang in the middle of Africa, surrounded by rather a lot of infamous countries. It has Nigeria with Boko Haram. It has Libya with its joys for the last few years. It has Sudan and Darfur. And it has the Central African Republic, which has been in constant turmoil for the last, I don't know how many years, all of my life. So I understand why they would have concerns about us going there. But actually for me, it's not really a question of being concerned or being brave. It's not being brave, it's just following Jesus. Following Jesus doesn't require the same braveness as doing something on my own, because I'm following somebody, I'm not going first. And if we look at, all the way through various Gospels, first four books of the New Testament, Jesus invites people to follow him. Katie and I were having a discussion about the topic of following Jesus, and we kept on stumbling over which passage we were referring to, because there are so many passages that refer to following Jesus or being Jesus' disciple, Jesus calling people to follow him. And one passage will say something and it doesn't include the slight detail that another passage has. It's all over the place. But I am looking at Matthew 16, partly because it's actually connected to the song Christ is Enough. It's not immediately obvious from the readings why the song would be called Christ is Enough. We'll discover that later. Christ is Enough is a concept that actually is all over the place as well in the Bible. So when I'm saying I'm not being brave, I'm just following Jesus, in a way it's laying down my life as Matthew 16 writes, or Jesus calls us to do. And of course, there are certain risks that we need to prepare for, that in normal day-to-day life. As Jesus follower, we can expect risks. We can expect suffering, but also find joy and comfort in Christ and God's place for me or for you. The suffering I'm talking about is not suffering that we inflict on ourselves by bad decisions. So walking here to church without wearing a jacket or a jumper or something like that when it's freezing cold outside is just common sense. This is the choice we have of transport, a vehicle in Chad. We could take a donkey. It costs probably somewhere in the region of £500 to buy a donkey and a cart, possibly slightly more. And And it would take us at least 2 weeks to get from the capital city to where we're going to do ministry, and probably a day's journey to do any trip that we wanted to do. So that's one option. But that would be inflicting suffering on ourselves that's not necessary. It's an option, but it's not necessary. And it's not necessary as part of following Christ. It's not necessary as part of following Jesus. This idea of suffering as a result of following Jesus is surprising. It's surprising, and we actually generally prefer to ignore the reality of this surprise. Because in Matthew 16, we read that Peter was surprised when Jesus is talking about, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to suffer under the hands of these people, and then I'm going to die. This is the first time in Matthew where it's very clear what's going to happen. You can get hints earlier on. This is it. And Peter has just said, literally just a few verses before he's recognized that Christ is the Son of God, and all of that idea of, so Jesus is directly connected with the person who is the most powerful being in all creation. He's good. We don't automatically connect being friends with the most powerful person in the universe with suffering. We generally think, if he's in charge, then I won't suffer. Or if we know the right people, we won't have to go through difficulty. But Jesus says something that is so surprising, Peter decides to correct Jesus. And we have to be honest with ourselves. We probably want to correct Jesus ourselves. I certainly would, you know, the kind of natural response is, no, Jesus, why, you know, you're in charge. Why would you go through any pain? But Jesus talks about suffering and dying at the hands of people who don't like him. Peter's world is turned upside down, and I start to get uncomfortable about this idea too, and I'd expect you guys to get a little bit uncomfortable about this as well. Jesus is talking about happily walking in the direction of pain, because pain reduction is not the objective. We often make decisions about how to reduce pain. So we put jumpers on when it's cold outside to reduce the pain we'll go through going outside. But the objective is not actually to reduce the pain, it's sort of, the objective is to get somewhere. And Jesus seems to make this decision of going towards something even though it will result in problems for him. And heaven is our objective. Heaven is our goal. Christ is enough for us. So that's our target. That's all that is important. What we go through with that objective is not so important. Christ is enough for us there. So when we declare that we're following Jesus, we're leaving the world behind, leaving these concerns behind us, and there is no, and perhaps some of us, so I don't know how familiar you are with the song Christ is Enough, and we're going to sing it after this, it's very well connected with another song, which is I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, and that song has an interesting story behind it. Now, I've heard already several versions of it, and I found several versions online. So I'm just going to read you one of the versions, and feel free to disagree with some of the details. But it's a really interesting story around somebody saying, I have decided to follow Jesus regardless of the cost and regardless of what I go through. So about 150 years ago, there was a great revival in Wales, the Welsh Revival. As a result of this, many missionaries came from the UK to go to Northeast India to spread the gospel. The region was known as Assam and comprised hundreds of tribes. The tribal communities were quite aggressive. The tribesmen were also called headhunters because of a social custom which required the male members of the community to collect as many heads as possible. A man's strength and ability to protect his wife was assessed by the number of heads he had collected. Therefore, a youth of marriageable age would try and collect as many heads as possible and hang them on the walls of his house. The more heads a man had, the more eligible he was considered to be. So for those of you single guys, this is what you could have had to go through. Into this hostile and aggressive community came a group of Welsh missionaries spreading the message of love, peace and hope of Jesus Christ. Naturally, they were not welcomed. One Welsh missionary finally succeeded in converting a man, his wife and two children. This man's faith proved contagious and many villagers began to accept Christianity. Angry, the village chief summoned all the villagers. He then called the family who had first converted to renounce their faith in public or face execution. Moved by the Holy Spirit, the man sung his reply, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Enraged at the refusal of the man, the chief ordered his archers to arrow down the two children. As both boys lay on the floor, the chief asked, will you deny your faith? You have lost both your children. You will lose your wife too. But the man replied again, singing, though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. The chief was beside himself with fury and ordered his wife to be arrowed down, the wife of the man, to be arrowed down. In a moment, she joined her two children on the ground. Now, he asked, for the last time, I give you one more opportunity to deny your faith and live. In the face of death, the man sung, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. He was shot dead, like the rest of his family, but with their deaths, a miracle took place. The chief, who had ordered the killings, was moved by the faith of the man. He wondered, why should this man, his wife and two children died for a man who lived in a faraway land some 2,000 years ago. There must be some supernatural power behind the family, and I too want that supernatural power. And in a spontaneous confession of faith, he declared, I too belong to Jesus Christ. When the crowd heard this from the mouth of their chief, the whole village accepted Christ as their Lord and Saviour. Wow. And actually the fruit of that is really obvious today. I've met with some Northeast Indians, and that little part of the world is an incredible part of the church now, and sending missionaries all over the world to live this, and they are pretty fearless people. And it's that story is really inspiring. And it gives a great example of suffering for your faith. But somehow, I'm disconnected from it. It's a distant reality. I've never faced somebody threatening to kill my family. For my faith, to follow Jesus, I have to lose this person in my life. I would like to say that if somebody came to me and said, I'm going to kill your family, that I say, it doesn't matter, I will follow Jesus. Or I find some way of protecting my family from dying and still not have to renounce my faith. And I definitely don't want my wife and boys to die. I don't want my faith to result in them suffering. I actually also don't want my faith to lead us into poverty or sickness or any other unpleasant thing. I really don't. I don't want my faith to hinder my own success, however I define that success. I don't want, and you probably have a whole bunch of a list of things that you don't want your faith to affect. You don't want to have to give it up or to be threatened by following Jesus. But reading what Jesus says reminds us of an alternative. Just a bit after Jesus rebukes Peter, he talks about having a healthy soul and gaining a reward from the Father. Christ is enough for this following. Following Jesus, all of it is enough. You can have this joy, this healthy soul, and you can be at peace. Despite the certainty of hardship that we will go through in life, we keep our soul and don't sell it for a nice house or a nice spouse or a really good job or loads of money or kids. And in Luke chapter 9, he writes about giving up our home and our family to follow him. And this giving up of home is a feeling that's particularly personal for me, because I have never felt at home in any place. I grew up in Niger, and I have this deep desire to feel at home, but I never felt it, because I was born in Bishop Auckland in County Durham, just a little bit north of here, and then I lived in Africa. And whenever I came to England, I felt like I was a foreigner, because I lived in Africa, and when I was in Africa, I was obviously a foreigner, partly because I was born here, but partly because of my skin colour. I never felt at home, and actually, in following Jesus to go back to Africa, but not the same place, I'm also giving up the establishing of home here in England. So it feels, it's a very personal thing, and actually, if any of you have ever felt like you've been led to leave your home, however, wherever you felt it at home, you'll understand that tension of leaving home. But there are many other small or big decisions that we have to make in following Jesus, that are really uncomfortable, really difficult to make, and they are sacrifices. Though sometimes we may be exaggerating about that, and sometimes we really aren't exaggerating about it. Sometimes following Jesus is as significant as leaving your home country and going to another country and depending fully on God for everything that you have, which is a little bit of what Katie and I are doing. Sometimes that is much simpler, and that's serving here in Leeds and following Jesus here in whatever you're doing here. And that trusting in Jesus is no less hard. And sometimes I talked about, and you can talk about leaving family, and Jesus is saying, you know, family is one of those things that really grabs hold of us and distracts us from following Jesus. But actually, sometimes following Jesus is also serving your family, and sometimes it's serving your parents or your children, and it just depends on the right time. Following Jesus sometimes makes family secondary importance, so they feel very uncomfortable. I know that we are, by moving to Chad, upsetting a whole bunch of our family members, and not because they're angry with us. They mostly are completely supportive of what we're doing, but they are upset because they will not see us as frequently, and they're sad that they're not going to be with us. And actually, we can do the same by moving just 100 miles here in the UK. And it creates sadness, but the following Jesus is the most important thing. A mission of following Jesus may involve deep sadness when you lose people you love. It may be a frustrated prayer of uncertainty of what God wants you to be doing. You're trying your best to follow Jesus, but you just don't know what the next step is. That is part of following Jesus sometimes. Yes, as I've already said, it may involve lots of little sacrifices, or it might be something that is big. Much of Katie and I's experience of being followers of Christ is a deep underlying joy of Jesus being everything we need and not feeling like we're missing out on the things that some others think are important. We don't feel like we're missing out on a really nice house. We don't feel like we're missing out on a really good salary. We don't feel like we're missing out on all sorts of things, on a great healthcare system, because Jesus is all we need as we follow him. We're still learning that reality, and when we sing Christ is enough, for us, we remind ourselves of the reality of following Jesus, that there are things we will still need to give up. There are things that we will go through that will be uncomfortable and painful and difficult. But we pray that we learn to follow Jesus without looking back. Looking back at the comforts and pleasures of this world. TV or Netflix is not necessary for our happiness, however much we enjoy it. And actually, neither is being close to beloved family members, or being far from the ones we don't like. It's not about being in a place, as I said, where the NHS is. It's not about being in a place where we love the food. It's about being where Jesus has led you, wherever that is. I really like food, and actually in Suffolk there aren't that many great restaurants, and there's not that much great food that I enjoy. I actually much prefer being in Leeds from that food perspective. Sometimes Jesus leads some people to Leeds, and Jesus leads others to Chad. Jesus leads some to be accountants, and some to be waitresses, and some people to be artists. But the person who is not following Jesus because they don't want to give up on a personal pleasure is missing out on following Jesus into joy and peace that comes only from him. And that is sufficient for what we need. We're going to sing Christ is Enough now. Hopefully it's more meaningful now than it was before. Maybe it's harder to sing. It certainly made it harder for me to sing as I thought about it. But as we say, we have decided to follow Jesus, and that Christ is enough, that I don't need anything else to follow him. Maybe God will speak to you about, I'll comfort you about something that you found challenging and leaving behind, or you found or help you in knowing the joy and comfort that you can have in following Jesus. I'm no expert, and I have a lot to learn about knowing that Christ is enough and not trying to fulfill myself in other ways. But yes, let's pray by saying.